So, our concept of God comes not from dogma, but from what we believe and from what works for us. I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Andre. And I'll let him share his experience on that topic.
Thank you, John. My name is Andre. I am an addict. Clean date's April 24th of 2010. I guess sometimes I wonder far afield when I start thinking that these steps have special meanings, and the steps fucking mean what they say. That's it. And I love this, you know, God as we understood God, because that gave me a lot of freedom. You know, I came back this time with the same knowledge that I came to in 1982 when I first got here. I had a solid foundation. A solid scriptural foundation, you know, and I had this serious dogma. I learned my catechism from my grandmother in French when I was six. I mean, you know, this stuff was in me. It was there, man, and I had a firm belief. You know, I know where I'm going to be buried. You know what I'm saying? But the problem was that information wasn't keeping me clean. See, I had a great, great understanding of this God on a vertical plane, or at least my own understanding. Yeah, come to find out, it wasn't that good. the problem that I had was I did not have a grasp of God on a horizontal plane. I did not have just the faintest concept of seeing God in another person, you know. And to me, that's what proved to be the key. I bounced in and out of here for 16 years, from 94 to 2010. I'd come in and get a couple of months, and, you know, I'd come in and get 6 months, and I'd build up my wife's hopes again, and my children would start not looking at me crazy, and, you know, we'd start stacking up a few dollars, and as soon as everything was going good, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I'd have to tear it all down, you know. And finally, when I got back here in 2010, it was a guy that was an absolute loss that carried me to a treatment center down in Angleton. Didn't even have any funding for me. You know, they were just kind enough to take me in. And H&I showed up on Sunday, and I'd been on methadone for a very long time. And I was very, very sick, and I stayed sick for a long time. But I do remember Byron D., who was my first sponsor when I got back. You know, and he looks like a carny. He's got funky ass tattoos all over him, and I don't think he owns a long pair of pants. And he's about as big as the doorway, you know, and it looks like a car. He looks like he just crawled out from underneath the Tilt-A-World ride is what he looks like, you know. And man, he looked at me and he said, "Dude, you never have to use again, even if you want to." You know, and this baffled me, right? I didn't know. I thought that once the fuck it switch went off, that I didn't have a choice. I thought I had to just pull the trigger. As soon as that mental obsession hit again, or actually now after quite a lot of step work and sharing with others, I know that it was pain. Pain is what drove my addiction. You know, I was so uncomfortable just being me. Being Andre was very painful, you know. And as soon as that discomfort level got to where I couldn't stand it anymore, one of two things was going to happen. I was going to get high, or I was going to put a bullet in my mouth, one or the other. That was it. When I got to that little broke-down treatment center down in Angleton, you know, I still had gun oil in my mouth, you know. And I'd quit having fun a long time ago, you know. And I was plagued by inner dialogue, you know, of of stuff like, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? Why can't you just stop? You know, it's an inanimate object. You know, it doesn't have legs. It doesn't have wings. It seems to have a spirit, though. Anyway, I was fortunate. I was really blessed that that these guys kept it so simple, man. And it was just like the early NA that I found with Chester G and Phil Y and Stanley and all those guys in the early 80s, you know. And I kind of recaptured what I had then. I had this sense of, you know, yeah, man, we're all fucked up like a soup sandwich, but we're going to be okay, you know. And these guys were there. They were solid, man. I'd call them, and they'd get up from dinner with their families and take my phone calls. And, you know, they were there every Sunday night, no matter what. No matter what, they were there every Sunday night, man. And I needed that. I needed somebody to show me that, no, man, these people do care enough about me to give up their Sunday night, you know. What's ironic is they let me start attending that H&I meeting as soon as I got discharged, you know. And, you know, I did that for 9 years, every Sunday night. And I understood why they were doing it, you know. Because it wasn't about this God up here at the pinnacle, you know. It wasn't about this God. It was about the relationship that I built with another addict. And that the God that's the power that's going to keep me clean is in that relationship. It's right here between Johnny and I. Just a whirling away, man, you know. And that's the power that I found this time, and that's the power that I'd been missing, you know. I still have my firm religious beliefs, and I don't think that alters them. And what's strange is as I go looking deeper and deeper, you know, I find a lot of people in a lot of different religions have the same experience I do, that there's a whole lot of mystics in a lot of different beliefs that have the exact same experience I do, that it's not about what I think, it's about what I do, you know? I love the way this is. This was a lifesaver, you know. If you go back and you read some of the history of the other fellowship, you know, and they talk about why they put in God as we understood Him, right? You know, and it was to make people be able to fit, you know. That third tradition, you know, is a way to it really should lower the sadly enough we've started to use it to raise the threshold to keep people out, but you know, it really lowered the threshold, you know. Hell, you don't even have to quit. If you have a desire, we want you here, you know. And I know a lot of people that came high for their first 6 years. Right. It'd been more than one person slid off the couch, you know, at Vigilance. And we've also had several overdoses. Matter of fact, we've had 3 overdoses in the last year. And it's not from trying, you know. It's not from trying. This concept, I wanted to read this real quick. And this is step 3 in the basic text. It's, for all of us, the day came when there was no longer choice. We had to use. Having given our will and our lives over to our addiction in utter desperation, we looked for another way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we decided to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. This giant step. We didn't have to be religious. Anyone could take this step. All that is required is willingness. And I had a friend of mine recently say that willingness is also courage. Willingness is courage. You know, and I don't know why. You know, I'm almost 60 years old, and I've never connected willingness to be courage. You know, and all I can think is, man, what kind of shit am I going to learn tomorrow, you know? Because it's kind of exciting, because usually I have been wrong about every concept that I have firmly held. And I had to be wrong in order to understand, you know. And I still had to be able to accept myself as being right there, right where I was supposed to be, you know. That being broken and being wrong is exactly where I'm supposed to be, you know. All that is essential is that we open the door to a power greater than ourselves. Our concept of God comes not from dogma, but from what we believe and what works for us. Many of us understood God to be simply whatever force keeps us clean. The right to a God of our understanding is total and without any catches. Because we have the right, it is necessary to be honest about our belief if we are to grow spiritually. You know, I got a real good friend of mine, Jeff S., who, you know, again, one of the guys that were bringing H&I into that treatment center, you know, and I asked him, I said, man, I just don't, you know, because here I am, I'm developing this new understanding of a higher power, and I was like, dude, I don't, you know, what's this, I don't know, what do you do, you know, and he says, well, it's real simple, if you tell the truth, you will see God's will. And I was like, what? He says, yeah, just try telling the truth, the absolute truth for an hour, and you will find out what God's will is for you. And I was like, now, that doesn't sound very safe to me, nor smart, you know, I mean, right? And but sure enough, man, when I started trying to put these principles, right, I didn't have to go looking for God, man. When I started trying to live by these principles that we incorporate in the fellowship, not just the steps, but the fellowship. If it was just about the literature, you know, we'd put a bunch of, like my friend, library cards up on the door. We'd put library cards up on the door, put a bunch of books in the library, and we could go home, watch Netflix, and eat Cheetos, you know, right? It's not about just the literature. It's about the fellowship using the literature. It takes all of it. It takes all of it, you know, and one is no more greater than the other, you know. But I must admit, I did not come I'm embarrassed to say this, but I did not come back for y'all's spiritual principles. I came back for your personalities. I really did, man. It was the personalities that kept me coming back, you know. But when I started just trying to practice these principles that we find in the step, I started being, didn't have to worry about finding God because God found me, you know. And, you know, just like, a loving, benevolent superpower who gives me free will, who allows me to make those mistakes and still loves me. You know, the problem is usually that I don't love myself, you know. And I think that's what the steps are really trying to get me to do, is just to be okay in my own skin, you know, because when I'm okay, everybody else is okay. When I can start forgiving me, you guys ain't too bad either, you know. I do think that that being willing to be wrong, right, is a part of this for me. Especially when you look at the way God as we understood God in the past tense. Not God as I understand God today, but the God as we understood God, you know, because it's not complete. You know, my definition, my understanding of a higher power is that it is not complete, that it's constantly evolving. You know, just like the universe is constantly just hauling ass through this great vacuum around us, you know, and we think that, oh, the sun, the moon's going around us and we're going around the sun and everything's hunky. No, man, this son of a bitch is roaring, hauling ass, man, and it's going in a spiral and it's still going forward into the infinity, you know, and we think, you know, and I think everything I got going on is a big deal, you know. It's like, oh, God, please help me. I've got this so fucked up now. Only you're going to be able to fix it, you know. And it's usually Andre quit messing with it. It'll get better, you know. My friend Stan Jones says, you know, dude, if you could just keep your mouth shut, it'll get back. It'll get back to good all by itself, you know. But if you can keep your mouth shut, it'll get to bad. See, bad is something I'm used to dealing with, you know, but fucking tore up is usually where I find. But before I get willing to turn anything over to anybody but my own diabolical secret squirrel schemes, you know, I got to tear it up, man. I got to tear it up, you know. And when I finally get to where I just can't stand myself, when I just can't stand the mess that I've made, and It's probably too honest for a Saturday morning. It's never really a desire to do God's will in any of that. It's because I'm just embarrassed and I'm in pain. You know, how can a 60-year-old man get shit so screwed up? You know? And when I'm, it doesn't matter what motivates me, what drives me to surrender this, to again make a decision. And I'm not one of those frogs on a log guy. I believe that once I've made a decision, my intention is to act, and act is part of that decision, you know. But once I get to the point to where I'm willing just to let it go, when I'm willing to even consider that maybe God's got a better choice, or hell, anybody's got a better idea than me. You know, I've got a special needs child that, you know, every now and then I look, you know, I'll never forget. You know, there is nothing more painful than the look that our children give us when we're using. You know, that look where, you know, where my son would look at me as if to say, you know, I mean, and like I said, here he is, 12 years old, special needs, you know, and he'd look at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, and I'll never, that disappointment and that disgust. You know, pity is what it was, pity, you know, and, you know, that's, I really wish I wasn't like this, but that's where I seem to have to be, you know. I really wish I was smart enough to learn from the mistakes that David made, or, you know, or the mistakes that John made, or Trey wrote, my wife, you know, but I'm not. I'll tell you I am. Right? I'll verbalize this. I'll tell you how smart I am. And like, yeah, I'm not going to do like he did. No way. You know, I ain't doing that. You know, I'm not going to cash in that 401k. Mm-mm. You know, shit. Start missing a car payment and I'll cash that sucker in. You know, I do not like Metro. You know, not in the rain. Not with eggs. Not with ham. I do not like Metro. You know. It's one thing to ride it when you want to. It's another thing to ride it when you got to. Yeah, totally different feeling on that bus. But, you know, and, oh, man. So anyway, the point that I was trying to make with all that is that, you know, even in my arrogance and even in my ignorance and even in my stupidity, that the higher power of my understanding, a God of my understanding, is always there for me, you know. That this God is always there with forgiveness and mercy and love. You're not too much worried about justice, you know. That there is peace at the end of all this. I don't know if I want to tell this story or not. I guess if I don't, I probably shouldn't. So I'm getting better at this, right? I really would, if I could, you know, get a chance to tell any, if I do tell this to the guys that I do work with, you know, and it's something that the hardest part in the world for me, and, you know, and again, Byron, my first sponsor, when I come back this time, Byron D. would say, man, give yourself a break, and I mean, you know. And I would be, what the hell do you mean, give myself a break? What kind of leftist bullshit is this, you know? And he says, no, give yourself a break. And I was like, you don't understand what I've done, you know? You don't understand the damage I've done, you know? What do you mean, give myself a break? And we were doing a fifth step, you know? And we finished this 2 or 3 hours. It was longer than that. It was a long time. And he says, okay, I only want one more thing from you, man. I want you to tell me 2 things you're good at. And I could not come up with anything. I could not come up with anything that I was good at, you know. And that's the great thing about being at the bottom. You can always just, everything's up from there, you know. The hardest, and this is the one thing I do like to offer I do like to offer the guys I work with is that, you know, I never grew. I never changed. Nothing ever got better by me being hard on myself or hard on other people. You know, all that was about ego, you know, that was just about ego and despair, you know, that I had to learn to develop compassion, you know, that I had to be merciful, you know. The same attributes that I found in a higher power, I started having to display, you know. And until I could do that, I kept going back to the same understanding of a higher power. Until I could incorporate the principles of Narcotics Anonymous, I would keep going back to that old understanding, you know. And it took a conscious effort, you know. It took index cards. You know, put them in my pocket, index cards walking around with, you know. God, they fell out in the shop one day, and I was mortified. Dude, really? Anyway, I believe that's all I got. Thank you all for being here. This is my favorite line in the whole book, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share about it. Thank you. Evelyn will fill us in.
Our next speaker is going to be Evelyn.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
My name is Evelyn. I'm an addict. I want to thank the convention program for inviting us down here. Hail from Jackson, Mississippi! Originally from Dallas, Texas, however. Let's take a moment. Moment of silence for God to come in so I can step out. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Evelyn. I'm ahead once again. So excited to be here. Haven't been to Houston in years. My grandparents lived in Houston when I was little. When I received this topic, I was like, oh, my. And my sponsor's like, oh, that's a good topic for you. You know, it's talking about spirituality, you know. And I just pondered on it and thought about it for a long time, you know, the dogma of it and how I was raised and, you know, the requirements and the rules that was attached to the entity that I went to growing up. And I thought, what the world? I'm already damn for hell. You know, there's nothing I can do right, you know. But just being able to experience the life of addiction, you know, being brought to my knees, being broken, you know, being in the position that I've given away everything. And there's nothing left to give, and I'm still trying to find something else to give, you know, besides my soul, you know, just an internal pain. I don't know if any of y'all felt that, you know, like just brokenness, but still want some more, you know, just going after it, you know. And I was raised in a specific religion, and when I started using, I would tote a Bible with me, right? I thought the Bible could save me. I never opened it, just always had it with me. Like, he got me, he got me, you know. And somewhere along the line, I lost it. I don't know where it went. I left it in one of those houses I was sitting in, you know. And I became upset, you know, this power, you know, that we've been taught that loves us and cares for us, right? How could something that's supposed to be so loving allow so much hurt to occur, you know? And so I had to deal with that. You know, we all have our own traumatic experiences, maybe from childhood, maybe adulthood, just getting caught up in stuff and always needing somebody to blame, you know? So I couldn't blame the people, so I blame God, you know? He don't love me. You know, I done stole grandmama money, right? I already messed up one of them, right? So messed up one, they all gone, right? I might as well get my place over there somewhere away from the heat, you know, somewhere. And I kept that mentality. But when I came into the rooms, which I have been familiar with Narcotics Anonymous since, early 90s, all right? My clean date is 12/29/08. And I would come in and out, and I was the one going to the meetings buying dope, going in the bathroom, getting high. And I didn't hear a word those folks were saying. right? But I would catch the spirituality part of it, you know, like, this is a spiritual program, not religious, you know, like, what the world? Where they do that at, you know? And so I do believe the literature always talks about us getting to a point of desperation before anything that we've heard will take root, you know? And when I got to that point of desperation, like I said before, I literally had lost everything. I have 7 kids, you know, and somebody was raising my kids, you know, got felonies and rap sheets and, you know, just all bummed out, homeless, sleeping in abandoned houses and eating out of garbage cans and just stealing folks' money, the store stuff, and just lost. And I got to thinking about it when I came in the last time. Well, what was all that for? Well, just one more. I needed one more. You know, it says one is too many, and 1,000 is never enough. But I never got the concept that if I didn't pick up the one, I wouldn't have to worry about the 1,000. Right? And it also talks about how there are 3 areas of our lives that are affected: mental, physical, and spiritually. Right? Spiritually is how I react with everybody else. I was self-centered. You know, I can remember a time when my grandmother was in the hospital. I mean, she's in the hospital for some serious stuff, and the house is empty. So what I do, I go break in the house, you know, and then the neighbor over the way, and she's like, hey, Evelyn, you know your mom? I say, yeah, I know. She sent me over here. You know, she come back to wash and dry go. Like, what the world? You know, that's my self-centeredness. I couldn't feel for anybody else. You know, everybody was a victim to me. You know, you were like a trick. You had a target on your back. Some kind of way I was going to get something from you. And it's so sad because I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel guilty. You know, he was talking about the children. And when my kids were home, and I would come in after being hauled out for 2 weeks, you know, body just jiggling and going on and can't even see straight. And all I want to do is lay down, right? And they just wanted attention. They just wanted mama to give them a hug or a pat or something, right? And I'm like, hold on a minute. I got to lay down. When I get up, right, mama going to spend some time with you. And it never failed. Every time I got up, I got to go, right? And this plays in my head all the time because my favorite word, I could look my children. This is something, these are people that I birthed. I went through the pain to bring these folks into the world, and I would look at them straight in the eye and say, mama, be right back. I'll be right back. I love you. And didn't even understand what love meant. I invited people into my misery. They didn't ask for that, you know? And so, years of going back and forth, you know, thinking that I was having fun. You know, I had fun when I first started, I can say, because I had the sense to go home. I had enough sense not to spend all my money. You know, I was still able to pay a bill. You know, I was in the military, so I was able to show up, you know. But as it started progressing, I slowly started losing time. I forgot when to show up, you know. I forgot how much money I really started out with, but I know I always ended up empty. You know, you would think that would be enough to say, okay, Evelyn, it's a problem. You know, and my grandmother would always be like, you know, you need to turn your life over to God and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'd be like, he's not here. You know, he's not even here. Because if he was here, I'm thinking he would send his hand down in a supernatural manner, right? And just move some stuff around in my life so everything would be all right, right? I see what I was doing. I was waiting for him to do what I should have done, right? And so the last time that I came in, you know, I didn't come in this fellowship brimming over to stop using, you know, because I'm in the military. You know, they told us they had this program in Bonham, Texas that I could go to, right, for veterans that deal with substance abuse issues, right? You can come in there. It's a long-term program. And when you get out, we're going to give you housing, you know, hood bash, right? And we're going to set you up with CWT, compensated work therapy for the veterans, right? So in my mind, because I'm still manipulating, I'm still scheming, right? I'm thinking, okay, I can go to this program. I ain't got a trick no more because I'm going to have a job. I ain't got to be homeless no more because they're going to give me a place to stay. And I can still get high. Yeah, that disease is a tricky thing. I mean, that disease is so common and baffling. you know. And so I did that. I went for that specific reason. And lo and behold, as always, our disease likes to leave us butt naked and humiliated. I got caught at the last day on a piss test. And so they put me out, which was a repeat of my life being removed from stuff that was good for me. But I had a counselor. And the thing that she told me kind of didn't sit well with my soul, right? She kind of looked me in my face after I got called, and I'd have lied, of course, that it wasn't me, you know. But she told me she believed in me. I mean, with the straightest face, you know. You can, you know, when people mean good for you, you know, you can just tell by the vibe you get from them, right? And when she told me that, I mean, it just like did something to me, right? Like, wow, after all these years, somebody believes in me. Everybody else called me everything but my name. But I got somebody sitting in front of me that said, I let them down. Versus people always telling me, I let them down. She's telling me, I let her down, but in a positive way. Because I believed in you. I thought you had this thing. Because we are great manipulators, and I knew what to say in treatment. I knew when to cry, right? I knew when to look pitiful so they would feel sorry for me, but none of it was true, right? But she believed in me. And I was like, wow, man. So as I'm packing my stuff to leave, because they sent me back home, right, I kind of chewed on it for a minute. And I went back home to Dallas, you know, still feeling some type of way, because I think it was like a changing moment for me that now, you know, there's hope. You know, literature talks about hope. It's imperative that we have hope in this journey, right? And so I went home. It didn't stop me from using. I had to get high to think about it. And I had the worst thing around in my mind, right? Was she for real? Was, you know, was it ulterior motive? What was really going on, right? But that was the last night I got high, you know. And I went back home, and I was, like, so excited and telling my kids, because I'm excited now, right, because there's something going on in the inside I can't really explain. Like, y'all, I'm supposed to go back to treatment, right? And my kids are like, really? When you coming back this time? I felt about that big, you know. And it gave me a fresh look of the hopes that I had dashed in their lives, you know, their dreams and their expectations, because I'm sure in their mind they're like, okay, yeah, she'll be writing us from jailhouse again. you know, she's not really serious. But then I had to realize that if I wanted to live, at one point I was going to have to do this thing for myself. So I didn't do it for them. I wanted them to be a part of it. I wanted them to share the excitement. But I did it ultimately because I was so sick, and I was hurting, and I was alone. Nobody messed with me. Nobody fooled with me. My family talked about me, you know, with me standing there, you know, downgraded me, humiliated me, right? And I knew that was not who I was created to be. So I pulled back on some of that old stuff, right, that I knew was something better in me, right? I went to school. I had a little college. I was in the military. Shoot, I was a soldier, right? So the disease was not my life. It's something I got caught up in trying to avoid things I didn't want to deal with. So I came in there and I was excited, and I went back with a fresh attitude. I mean, because I really wanted to live now. I'm excited. Like, I'm like, what's going to happen now? I don't really have any family members that's really talking to me, right? All I have is me. So Evelyn, what are you going to do for you now? So I had a sponsor, and guess what, guys? My sponsor that I had in Bonham, Texas, 10 years ago, I seen her today. Tell me ain't no God. I'm talking about things that I can't even put together. He puts together. You know, that's why I get excited about it. Not taking the understanding or the explanation that my mom and them gave me, or that a specific entity gave me, but going out searching, finding truth for myself, my truth, right? And Narcotics Anonymous is so versatile and diverse that we each get the opportunity to have our own truth, but live in that truth, right? So it says that it's a spiritual program and not a religious program. The Living Clean talks about being able to communicate your belief in a language that don't offend nobody else. It don't say I got to abandon my religious faith. But what I got to do then when I'm speaking about it, I got to make it inclusive for everybody. That's something that's exciting right there, right? Because we all have our own belief systems. And so I got in there, guys, and I started working. I started doing this, you know, and I forgot about everything. I concentrated. What I wanted when I went into treatment was peace. I just wanted peace. I didn't want no house. I didn't want no car. I didn't want them chilling back. I wanted peace, just peace of mind, you know, just to be comfortable in my own skin, not having to always need somebody to validate me, need somebody to encourage me, you know what I'm saying, need somebody to pump my brakes up so I get up and do something. I had to learn that I had to do those things for myself because it was my journey. It's not anybody's responsibility to make sure I get up every day and not hit or not drink. That's my responsibility. So if I get up feeling kind of low, I need to do something different. You know, and so I got in, I got my sponsor, we started working steps, and down in Dallas, what we do, they do a lot of group hopping, visiting various groups. We go up and down the road. We used to travel. She was big on service work, got in there at GSR, whatever it was, and all of that other good stuff, right? Service positions, right? Doing H&I early on, right? I ain't got a clearance from the jailhouse in Dallas, and I'm going to one in Bonham. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, she's just an addict. Just let her in. You know, she got a story to tell. But it was so amazing, though, because things just started to come together. And not only did they start coming together, I started introducing myself to me, right? I didn't know who I was. I got lost in other people, right? I took physical abuse because I thought that's what was needed to get the attention that I wanted. So I had to realize what respect really was, what self-worth really is, right? And I didn't get that on my own. So at some point, I had to lean to a God of my own understanding to start revealing to me things that I needed to know to help me be a better person. I didn't want to be clean and still have the same behaviors as I was using. Because see, when I went around the family members, you know how they do us, right? They got the microscope out, right? And you say anything that looked like you're using. See, I told you they were using. Be late 15 minutes, right? Don't call. Told you they were using. You know what I'm saying? So that taught me how to be responsible, right? If I'm going to be late, what I never did before was call, right? But now today, call and let them know, you know? I mean, just different things that I was able to learn and gain through my first sponsorship. And step two came to believe that a power greater than me. Step one came to believe that I could be restored to sanity. That power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I'm getting it out. Right? So my sponsor told me, I stayed on that step for a long while. Because she told me before I move to step three, I need to have a belief in something. You don't transition from the steps until you gained and can apply the words to your life versus what is written, right? So I couldn't move from step two to step three until she took me down that road about those times when I was sitting in houses and stuff and they broke out in fights, right? And they started shooting and, you know, did you get hit? Right? You was discombobulated. How'd you get out? Right? Took me down that road when I was riding down 30, right? Came to see straight, still hidden. Did you get in an accident? Did you hit somebody? No. Well, who do you think did that? Well, shoot, the car. No. The car didn't do that. The same power that you had issues with was the same power that was covering you and protecting you. Even when you didn't know you needed covering and protecting. That was a turning point for me. Because, see, I blamed. Right? So, and she took it a little further, those experiences that you went through as a child. It could have went 1,000 different ways. This is my sponsor talking to me. But she said, you are still here. Why do you think you're still here? I said, I don't know. It's to show somebody else that that experience that you went through, that they can get through it too. Right? So I never did think, right, that this whole thing had a meaning. It's about me getting my life together, right? But I learned that every experience that I have been through, whether it's the homelessness, the prostitution, the tricking, the jailhouses, somebody has went through the same one and they don't have hope. But you got hope and you didn't get it on your own accord. The power that's above you, that's still with you, has enabled you and healed you from your hurt so you can tell somebody else is still able. You know what I'm saying? It's still working. This is not the end of it. It's going to turn out, you know, but this right here has to change. I can't graft anything new if all I hold is old stuff. So at some point, I had to get a relationship. Now, we always talk about our relationships up in the rooms, our brothers and sisters, and how we, the therapeutic value, one act helping another with that parallel, because we have our own unique experiences that we can help, you know, other people. But also, spiritually speaking, we're still those same people. Our experiences and our hope is there for people who don't even know these rooms exist. Right? But at some point, I have to be able to be healed. Does that make sense? I have to be healed with a healing that I can't do. Because if I could do it, I'd have did it what? A long time ago. So that means at some point in my life, I had to humble myself. I had to surrender. I had to admit that I don't have all the answers. And that's our favorite word, right? I know. Your shoe untied, Evelyn. Oh, I know. Ever quit smoking all that dope? I know. You know, but I had to realize that I was in a position where I needed help and I needed to reach up to get the help so I could receive the help from y'all. Right? Because this is just me. That was the only way that I was able to even accept you. Because I always thought you was talking about me, plotting on me, scheming on me, hating on me, because it's my DNA. It's a negative mindset. That's what addiction is. I'm negative all the time. The sun is shining while it's hot. I can't just enjoy the sun now. It's hot. You know, I could have just said, well, it's a beautiful day. You know, so those are things that I still have to watch out for. You know, and then a real complicated thing for me when I came in, because I did kind of dive kind of in into spirituality, not to be wear a halo or anything, or not to be more spiritual than anybody else. It's not about that. It's about being the best version I can be, right? And so for me, that was the path that I took. And so that dogma shows up when you want to choose a path that's exclusive, right? Because now you're sitting on judgment seat because it don't line up with what you believe. Right? And that's a form of our addiction, because it always wants to separate me and make me think I'm unique. So if I can call some stuff out on you, I feel superior. That's not what our spirituality is. Our spirituality is meant to connect us and not disconnect us. So I had to do some house cleaning in my mind, right? That even the belief that I have is a belief of love. It's not a belief of judgment, right? So that lets me know that when that starts to creep up, I need to go in reverse and dismiss it real quick. Because even though we have years clean, months clean, it doesn't really matter. That disease still wants you. And it does whatever it can do to get you. And what I've learned is your mind is its best playing field. So it can play tricks on my mind if I'm not rooted in truth, my truth, right? that I'm able to get along with people even though they don't behave or act or say what I think they should say. Because if I'm going to be a promotion rather than attraction, being all willy-nilly, because you done cuss. This is one of my real big ones, y'all. Cussing in a meeting. I'm just talking about like beyond the norms. You know what I'm saying? And then they will follow it up with God. I got a relationship with God, you know? And so he had to show me, seriously, he had to show me, right, that everybody has their own journey. I used to cuss. And while it might be something that I decided to put aside, you have to let people be where they at. Because I could go in a meeting and hear that, and my mind shuts down. I done missed the whole message because I'm up there like, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what he said? And he was So I'm just so thankful for growth and for the NA Fellowship because it allows me to be authentic. I don't have to be anything other than what I am, right? And I know that if something bothers me to the point where I'm getting upset about it, I need to check me. Because it's never about you. It's about me, right? It's about this thing up here twirling around once again, thinking it what? It knows something. And every time it think it knows something, right? It leaves me in a spot where I'm feeling unfulfilled or unsatisfied or angry. How dare they? What the world? You know. But I do have choices today, right? So the choice is, if I want to be that promoter of the message, then I have to align myself with the NA way, which is not a problem, right? It's only when I start thinking that I'm better than that I want to separate. Well, NA has been too good to me. To separate. Because I heard the guy speaking last night said, he said, N.A. did not save my life. He said, N.A. gave me a new life. Y'all ever thought about that? And I used to always say, right, don't bite my head off, right, N.A. didn't save me. That's what I would say. N.A. didn't save me. But God knew I needed a room like this when he cleaned me up. So he already prepared it before I got here. Because we're a collective group of people, right? And if I relied on you to keep me clean, right, where would I be? I'd be up and down, right? Because you might relapse, and I'm looking at you, what? I got to relapse too, right? And I got to bounce from person to person to person, right? But what it did, it gave me the foundation to learn how to operate and cooperate in friendships and fellowships without thinking I'm unique. Which means I got to lay some stuff down if I want to grow. You know, if I want to help the still suffering addict, right, but still be authentic to me, right? So we don't wear halos, and we still not perfect. Every now and then, oh, word might come out, right? Yeah, my dog look at me and say, what you saying now? You know, but it reminds me, what? You still human. You still going to make mistakes, and that's the beauty of the journey because we don't have to be perfect. But my desire every day is to be better than I was yesterday. If it's no more than opening the door for one or two more people. It doesn't have to be grand, right? And so being able to understand that God is an important part of my life as I understand him. And, you know, I love the sun. I'm a nature person. Love water. Oh, my God, I want a house, right? Like right on the beach. I want it to be hurricane, weatherproof, and all that good stuff. And I want a deck so every morning I get out, I can just sit out there and look at the water. That's a source of my God to me. You know, so there are so many different ways we can experience that relationship. Like nature sounds. Oh, my God. I want a forest with no animals right behind the house, right? So I can just sit there and listen to the streams and, you know, the birds chirping because that gives me a sense of peace, right? Music. Oh, my God. You know, people. Meet new people and just learning about them is, like, exciting to me because it helps me grow and it helps me be a better person because, number one, I already have bias and prejudice in my head about things I don't understand. And I'll keep them until I introduce myself to that thing I struggle with. So What better way than to be open enough to say, wow, teach me about you. If I'm supposed to be promotable, right? And of course, yeah, I fall short. But it's still all good, because if I'm allowed another day to wake up, that's another day I get to do it over again. You know, I get to go to sleep at night and see where I made mistakes at. You know, I might have said, I probably was snappy with somebody, right? Probably was hungry or something, didn't get my chicken, right? Kind of snapped at them a little bit, right? So when I lay down, my spirit won't be settled if I've offended anybody. That's how I know that I'm like right on the spiritual path, right? Not perfect, but I know it's working in me, because the things that I used to do to people that didn't bother me, today when I do it, I'm uneasy, right? And I have to search the person out, you know? And sometimes I'll apologize to a person even when they know I haven't talked about them. Because it doesn't sit well with me. So it ain't about them. It's about my peace. Right? And especially if I said some stuff that I know. I done carried on some stuff I don't even know nothing about. Right? Now, I have to go and make it right. You know, our steps are designed, you know, just takes us down the hallway of just cleansing and healing and get us to a point where we're just okay with us. Right? We don't have to equal up or add up or compare to. It's just at the moment where, you know what, I'm okay. I don't have everything I want, but I'm still okay. I don't have that $1 million in the bank, but I'm still okay. I don't have that dream house, but I'm still okay, because I realize that whatever I need, if it's for me, I'll get it when I'm ready, which teaches me patience. We're still talking about God now. Because I don't know nothing about no patient, right? I'm an addict. I want what I want when I want it, right? If you don't give it to me, what happens? I take it. I just take it. You know? But learning to be patient and have that faith and that trust and that belief in the God that, as I understand him, to know that everything will work out in its own time, as long as I continue at my best to do what I know I should do. And if I fall short, it's not the end of the world. Because I ain't got to go get high about it. You know, I see people getting high in Jackson, Mississippi, guys. And I be looking at them folks, and they be looking like they done hit some real good stuff. I'm talking about they just be discombobulated. Then I'm looking at these commercials with all these drinks and stuff that I didn't get an opportunity to try, because they came out with the good stuff after I got clean, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at this stuff, and I have to admit, every now and then, the mouth water. Every now and then, right? You know, and I see them folks, I want to follow them to see what house they got it from, right? But then, what comes to my mind, though, right, is that last time. That last time. Am I willing to risk? Right? Because I don't know what they had. Yeah, it might be something I don't even do. Now I'm caught up. Once I take that one, all bets are off. You know, everything that has been restored to me, it's gone in a moment's notice. You know, I always talk about it ain't going to take me no week to get rid of it, because I'm a fast roller, right? I'm selling stuff while I'm still doing it. Okay, what you want? You want the house? I want the car? Oh, my husband got a whole lot of Viking hats. You like the Vikings? You know, it's just going down the line. You know, that's why I know it's imperative for me that I keep a relationship with a God of my own understanding, because it allows me to stay humble, and it never allows me to forget where I came from. I don't need a reminder. You know, I wake up every day being grateful. I'm saying every time I open my house with a key, you know, it's like for me, I say thank you. You know, because I remember all those times I was living in those abandoned houses, I made a key, put a brick up against it. And my furniture and stuff, you know, we were able to buy furniture today, right? And I remember those times, man, when I was driving down Dallas, South Dallas and that, right? You know, and people throw stuff out, and I would pull mattresses back to the abandoned house, you know what I'm saying, and fix it up like it's mine. And you know, every time I get the opportunity to pay a light bill, I remember all those candles I burnt, you know, and every time I eat. You see what I'm saying? If it's something I don't even like, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying thank you because I remember the days that I went hungry. I remember the days when food was not even important. I could go weeks on end without eating. I'm talking about neck bones, rib bones, cheek bones showing. And the thing about it, I thought I was cute. I'm talking about, you know, I used to wear a ponytail like right there, right? And I used to paint my eyebrows on, right? And I remember when I used to get high, right? And I'm discombobulated, right? And it'd be like one eyebrow up there and be like, whatever. And I'm standing on the corner with my green teeth because I ain't brushed my teeth in like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? It's crust all up in them, you know. You know how we stand on like I'm at a shopping center or something. Buy me, you know. And of course, we had the ones that would, right? But they never want to pay full price. And I thank the God of my understanding for those experiences because I do believe it made me the woman I am today. You know, and it continues to help me remain humble and grateful for each day. You know, I said I had 7 kids. I'm going to say this so I'm going to be through. I had 7 kids and I lost my kids through my addiction. I didn't lose them. I didn't want to fight for them. You know, I didn't want to fight for him. And my God has a funny sense of humor because every situation that I've been through, that I went through in my addiction, I've been introduced to it clean. You know, so I work with, you know, children. Last week I went to the CPS office with these kids that had been taken. And I'm sitting up there in the CPS office right where the parents are visiting with the kids. And it feels so familiar. You know, it's like, okay, I brought you back. You know what I'm saying? Just so you could see. You know, and I'm seeing the anguish and the frustration that parent is going through, right? And it's like it brings you to the point of tears to think that you brought me out of that. You know, so now I'm able to go and help this lady and tell her if you do what you're supposed to do, you can get them back. You know, I don't have to sit on the sideline and be like, oh, poor her. You know, because I experienced it, right? You know, and so my kids, 3 girls and 4 boys, you know, 3 of them were adopted together in Dallas, and I had been clean for a minute, you know, a couple of years or so, and their adopted mother died, you know, and so they hadn't seen me in years, you know what I'm saying? They didn't know what I was still, how not, you know, but they had my number. I don't know how they got it, but they called, and they wanted me to come to the funeral, right? And I used that as a God moment because we never know why God allowed us to get clean at this particular time in our lives. You know, there's something that's going to come down the pipe that I got to show up for. You know, and if he hadn't got my attention, I'd have missed it. You know, and so I had the opportunity to go down there, and they came back to Mississippi and lived. And, you know, now we got a grandbaby and got 2 grandbabies on the way. And you know, and I was frustrated because I wanted them to treat me like mommy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been missing, 30 years? I want you to say me mama, you know. And he had to take me through that I had to let them be them. You know, he has to heal them just like he had to heal me, right? And so my middle daughter, she would never call me Evelyn. She would never say anything. She'd be like, hey. You know, like, hey. Like, hey. You know, and I worked a few programs to know that I don't have to take anything that I don't like. You know, so I had to talk to her. I say, look, you ain't got to call me mama. But you got to call me something other than hey. So she started calling me Evelyn. You know, so and I took that. You know, but I said all that to say that it's just so awesome how if we look at our lives and see how broken it was and how the God of our own understanding stepped in and just started putting the pieces back together. And all I had to do was what I was supposed to do. And that's stay clean. Right? Care for my brothers and sisters and do the next right thing. I didn't have to get into it, right? I didn't have to raise a fuss. You know, it didn't have to be a turning moment in our lives where she's tripping, you know. I pray about it and I leave it alone. Sometimes it's hard, but I've learned it's always the best measure. Because if I get into it, I'm going to say some stuff that shouldn't be said because I'm expecting something that they can't give. So I'll mess it all up. You know, so it's easier, you know, and I like when they call me, it's like, are you going to come for the baby? You know, the baby's going to be born here. My son is in New York. He's expecting, like, y'all coming down for the baby. You know, I like that, even though I ain't got no money, I probably can't come. You know, but I like the fact that they want me there. They want me there. You know, so if anyone in here is new, you know, the steps are designed for a reason. You know, we don't run through them. you know, we embrace them and we deposit them inside of us so we can live on them when life shows up. Whatever God you believe in, that's your choice. But it takes more than just saying you believe. It takes developing a relationship as we did with each other in here. So the same time that I put into learning about y'all is the same time that I put into learning about my high power, who I choose to believe in, which enriched me and helped me to be more better, more able to sustain the disease when it shows up, because it's showing up. So my name is Evelyn. I pray that you got, I hope that you got something out of it. Thank you for allowing me to share.